Chapter 6, continued. Full automation. Our first demand is for a fully automated economy. Using the latest technological developments, such an economy would aim to liberate humanity from the drudgery of work, while simultaneously producing increasing amounts of wealth. Without full automation, post-capitalist futures must necessarily choose between abundance at the expense of freedom, echoing the work-centricity of Soviet Russia, or freedom at the expense of abundance, represented by primitivist dystopias. With automation, by contrast, machines can increasingly produce all necessary goods and services, while also releasing humanity from the effort of producing them. For this reason, we argue that the tendencies towards automation and the replacement of human labor should be enthusiastically accelerated and targeted as a political project of the left. This is a project that takes an existing capitalist tendency and seeks to push it beyond the acceptable parameters of capitalist social relations. Capitalism has long been synonymous with rapid changes in technology. Driven by the imperative to accumulate, the means of production are continually transformed. In the 19th century, agriculture began to be mechanized, and small plots of land became increasingly centralized under larger and larger industrial farms. Craftwork was transformed too, with machinery appearing as an alien intervention into the production process. Work that had traditionally been undertaken by a skilled laborer was now broken down into its de-skilled constituent tasks, and often carried out using machinery. Workers became assigned to partial tasks, and tools that had once been governed by workers became machines that rhythmically conducted the laborers. Work became increasingly repetitive, de-skilled, and ruled by machinery, with greater demand for cheap, unskilled laborers, particularly women and children. In the early 20th century, this tendency began to shift with the introduction of technologies that eliminated the most routine and mundane of manual tasks, such as hauling and conveying goods. Skilled workers became increasingly necessary in overseeing the new machines, carrying out expanding service work, and managing the increasingly large firms that were emerging. The need for skilled labor was further amplified in the early 20th century by the rise of office technologies, typewriters, photocopiers, and so on. They required relatively well-educated operators. In other words, technology is not uniformly de-skilling, and the increased demand for skilled labor over the past century testifies to that. Over this period, manufacturing employment continued to decline due to its susceptibility to productivity-enhancing technology. The automation of mass production manufacturing in the early 20th century was eventually extended with the automation of small-batch manufacturing. While the industrial sector employed 1,000 robots in 1970, today it uses over 1.6 million robots. In terms of employment, manufacturing has reached a global saturation point. Even in developing countries, the trend is towards deindustrialization, with employment growth now confined predominantly to the service sector. Concurrent with the decline of manufacturing, the latter half of the 20th century oversaw another shift. While earlier office technologies had supplemented workers and increased demand for them, the development of the microprocessor and computing technologies began to replace semi-skilled service workers in many areas, for example, telephone operators and secretaries. The roboticization of services is now gathering steam, with over 150,000 professional service robots sold in the past 15 years. Under particular threat have been routine jobs, jobs that can be codified into a series of steps. These are tasks that computers are perfectly suited to accomplish once a programmer has created the appropriate software, leading to a drastic reduction in the numbers of routine, manual, and cognitive jobs over the past four decades. The result has been a polarization of the labor market. Since many middle-wage and mid-skilled jobs are routine, and therefore subject to automation, across both North America and Western Europe, the labor market is now characterized by a predominance of workers in low-skilled, low-wage, manual and service jobs, for example, fast food, retail, transport, hospitality, and warehouse workers, along with a smaller number of workers in high-skilled, high-wage, non-routine, cognitive jobs. The most recent wave of automation is poised to change the distribution of the labor market drastically, as it comes to encompass every aspect of the economy. Data collection, radio frequency identification, big data, new kinds of production, the flexible production of robots, additive manufacturing, automated fast food, services, AI customer assistance, care for the elderly, decision-making, computational models, software agents, financial allocation, algorithmic trading, and especially distribution, the logistics revolution, self-driving cars, drone container ships, and automated warehouses. In every single function of the economy, from production to distribution to management to retail, we see large-scale tendencies towards automation. This latest wave of automation is predicated upon algorithmic enhancements, particularly in machine learning and deep learning, rapid developments in robotics and exponential growth in computing power, the source of big data, that are coalescing into a, quote, second machine age, unquote, that is transforming the range of tasks that machines can fulfill. It is creating an era that is historically unique in a number of ways. New pattern recognition technologies are rendering both routine and non-routine tasks subject to automation. Complex communication technologies are making computers better than humans at certain skilled knowledge tasks. And advances in robotics are rapidly making technology better at a wide variety of manual labor tasks. For instance, self-driving cars involve the automation of non-routine manual tasks and non-routine cognitive tasks, such as writing news stories or researching legal precedents, are now being accomplished by robots. The scope of these developments means that everyone, from stock analysts to construction workers, to chiefs to journalists, is vulnerable to being replaced by machines. Workers who move symbols on a screen are as at risk as those moving goods around a warehouse. One report forecasts a, quote, depopulation of trading floors, unquote, as robots continue infiltrating the financial world. Retail jobs, long a bastion of post-industrial employment, are set to be taken over by machines. And over 140 million cognitive jobs worldwide are forecast to be eliminated. While the last wave of automation led to a polarization of the labor market, this newest wave looks set to decimate the low-skilled, low-wage end of the labor market. And as robots substitute for human labor, workers are likely to face lower wages and increasing immiseration. At the very least, then, the emerging wave of automation will drastically change the composition of the labor market and potentially lead to a significant reduction in demand for workers. A number of economists have pointed out, however, that productivity has not increased to the degree that would be expected by a revolution in automation. If a machine is replacing half of the workers in a factory, productivity should double if the factory produces the same number of goods. In fact, however, there has been a broad global slowdown in productivity growth, over the past decade, particularly following the crisis. Leaving aside the fact that productivity is a notoriously difficult thing to measure, we believe a few phenomena can help explain this anomaly. First, it is highly likely that low wages are repressing investment in productivity-enhancing technologies. Access to a large reserve of cheap labor means that companies have less incentive to focus on capital investment. Why purchase new machines when cheaper workers will do the same for less? This means that in the effort to bring about full automation, fighting for higher global wages is a crucial complementary task. Second, there's likely a delay factor at work. In the 1990s, the IT revolution took some time to become expressed in productivity figures, as companies had to invest and then adapt to the new capacities of these technologies. Organizations have to be changed, new skills have to be learned, and processes have to be reworked in order to make effective use of these new technologies. In general, it appears that investments in digital technologies face productivity lags of 5 to 15 years. Today, many of the technologies under discussion are incredibly new and were unimaginable even a decade ago. This novelty means that we should expect a delay in the response of productivity figures as the technologies are adopted and then adapted into the way businesses run. Finally, and most importantly, our argument here relies largely on a normative claim rather than a descriptive one. Full automation is something that can and should be achieved, regardless of whether it is yet being carried out. For instance, out of the U.S. companies that could benefit from incorporating industrial robots, less than 10% have done so. This is but one area for full automation to take hold in, and this reiterates the importance of making full automation a political demand, rather than assuming it will come from economic necessity. A variety of policies can help in this project. More state investment, higher minimum wages, and research devoted to technologies that replace rather than augment workers. In the most detailed estimates of the labor market, it is suggested that between 47 and 80% of today's jobs are capable of being automated. Let us take this estimate not as a deterministic prediction, but instead as the outer limit of a political project against work. We should take these numbers as a standard against which to measure our success. While full automation of the economy is presented here as an ideal and a demand, in practice it is unlikely to be fully achieved. In certain spheres, human labor is likely to continue for technical, economic, and ethical reasons. On a technical level, machines today remain worse than humans at jobs involving creative work, highly flexible work, affective work, and most tasks relying on tacit rather than explicit knowledge. The engineering problems involved in automating these tasks appear insurmountable for the next two decades, though similar claims were made about self-driving cars 10 years ago, and a program of full automation would aim to invest research money into overcoming these limits. A second barrier to full automation occurs for economic reasons. Certain tasks can already be completed by machines, but the cost of the machines exceeds the cost of the equivalent labor. Despite the efficiency, accuracy, and productivity of machine labor, capitalism prefers to make profits and therefore uses human labor whenever it is cheaper than capital investment. A program of full automation would aim to overcome this as well through measures as simple as raising the minimum wage, supporting labor movements, and using state subsidies to incentivize the replacement of human labor. A final limit of full automation is the moral status we give to certain jobs, such as care work. These tasks, including the raising of children, are ones that many would argue must be carried out by human beings. We can outline two broad approaches to these sorts of labors. A first approach would agree that such labor has moral value and should be carried out by humans rather than machines. In a post-work society, however, care labor could be given greater value, turning society away from the privileged status bestowed upon profitable labor. The free time that accrues from full automation could also facilitate experimentation with alternative domestic arrangements. There is a long history of utopian experiments that can be drawn upon to rethink how our societies organize domestic, reproductive, and care labor. All of this, it must be stressed, would still require a political movement to achieve. A post-work world may facilitate change, but it cannot guarantee it. A more radical approach, however, argues that automating much of this labor should be a goal for the future. Indeed, the stereotype that women are naturally nurturing and desiring of this affective labor is often a pernicious cover for their continued exploitation. But what if much of this labor could be eliminated? Traditionally, the household has been a space that featured little technological change. Its unpaid nature and lack of productivity norms have given capitalism few incentives to invest in the reduction of household labor. Yet increasingly, domestic tasks like cleaning the house and folding clothes, for example, can be delegated to machines. Assistive technologies and affective computing are also making inroads in automating some of the highly personal and embarrassing care work that might be better suited to impersonal robots. More speculatively, some have argued that the pain and suffering involved in pregnancy is something that should be relegated to the past rather than mystified as natural and beautiful. In this vision, synthetic forms of biological reproduction would enable a newfound equality between the sexes. We will not adjudicate on these paths here, but simply set them out as options opened up by a post-work world. Whatever approach is taken, though, the point is that labor will not be immediately or entirely eliminated, but instead progressively reduced. Full automation is a utopian demand that aims to reduce necessary labor as much as possible.